In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, Our Lady, the divine indwelling. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to begin on this understanding, a deeper understanding of Our Lady, the divine indwelling. She, as the image up here, she's veiled because this is a mystery. It's a great mystery that God is going to help us understand as we, the deeper we get into the divine will, the Lord is going to show us why we have Our Lady, the divine indwelling at this time. There are a few people, there are a few priests, bishops who've talked about this, but this is from Jesus Christ speaking to Louisa. Jesus is asking us that we enter into this abundant life so that we can begin to have the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. So as Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus has the divine understanding, Jesus has the divine perspective. And Jesus is saying this to us. This is what he wants for us. He wants us to begin to live this abundant life. So what we have today is we're going to start in volume 1 on page 1. And then your soul, purged, embellished, enriched, shall be like a king returning victorious from a most fierce war, who while he thought he would lose what he possessed, comes back more glorious and filled with immense riches. So here we are at war, and there's nothing to be disturbed about. What's happening in the Vatican, what's happening in our own families, what's happening in our nation. We are at war. You have to understand this. And the Lord has chosen us to live at this time. He has predestined us to live at this time. And when we become afraid, when we become worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, what happens at that point? It says to Jesus, we don't trust him. Now, Pope St. John Paul II gave us divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. And this was, again, even prevented for a while. I had the books in the 70s, and it was prevented from being spread. And that was fine. See, people were, I remember in the saying, well, why isn't this out there? Why isn't this out there? It wasn't time. It's the same thing today. Why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? You sound like a woman in labor who can't wait to get that baby out. It's not time yet. See, what Jesus loves is he loves, look at Our Lady. Our Lady says, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. That docility, that surrender, that submission is what God loves the most. That's why he loves Our Lady so much. So when you read this first line, we're being purged, we're being embellished, we're being enriched. That's what God is doing as we read the volumes. And again, the main thing about the Book of Heaven, Jesus says it's the only book that will transform a soul. This Book of Heaven is so important. That Jesus, this is what he says. Jesus has said, I've waited 6,000 years to get these books out. And why? He says, when people read these books, they will be spiritualized and divinized. That's what God is going to do. He's going to spiritualize and divinize us. When you think about that, you know, some people go, well, divinization, I'm not sure. Well, we say that every day at Holy Mass. When the priest puts a drop of water into the chalice, what does he say? May we share in the divinity of Christ. Do we understand what this means? This means to become like Jesus. This is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that her children are like her son. It's not to be, you know, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. Even when Jesus was on the cross, he did not complain. He said, when people say, well, he did. He says, Father, take this cup from me. You know why? He explains it in the volumes. He saw souls were going to hell even though he did this. Even though he died, this horrible crucifixion. He knew that souls would end up in hell because they would refuse him. And he says, I can't take this. I can't take losing one soul. So this is the cup of suffering that Jesus went through, knowing that even though he died on the cross, there would be souls that would not want him. So what happens here is Jesus is saying to us, you're being purged, you're being embellished, you're being enriched. Why? You're going to be victorious. See, this victory, I remember one part of the volumes, Jesus says, make a flag of victory. Make a flag of victory. You know, your understanding of victory, your understanding of what Jesus is doing in your life is different from everybody else in this room. It's unique, like your fingerprints, like your irises. You're unique. Your heights, your shapes, your colors, your voice. Everything is different. Why? God loves our uniqueness. He says, I'm going to make a divine masterpiece out of every human being. If we really believe that, we are filled with peace, joy, and happiness, even on Calvary. Complaining was not in Our Lady's. She did not complain at all. She said, fiat. She watched her son die. As a matter of fact, Jesus wanted her to watch him die. She sacrificed her child. What mother could do that? Watching the most pure, the most innocent of all, being crucified. And again, crucifixion, it just says, he didn't even look like a man. He was so mutilated. He was so tortured. And Jesus said, I want you, Blessed Mother, to be there. He wanted Mary Magdalene to be there. He wanted John to be there. He wanted everybody to be there. But only really five showed up. So we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We make sure that we are with our Eucharistic Lord every day. See, if you're not in front of the crucifix, if you're not in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you will be complaining constantly. This isn't right, and that's not right, and why aren't they doing this, and why aren't they doing that? That's the devil. The devil taps you on the shoulder and goes, look what they're doing. And then you ignore the temple inside. That's exactly what he wants. When you live in the divine will, it's always fiat. It's fiat. You're in charge, Lord. I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. That's why he says, while you thought you would lose what he possessed, he comes back more glorious, filled with immense riches. See, Jesus is asking us to begin to live this life now, not after we're dead. He says the resurrection isn't to be for you after you die. Jesus says, Luis, the resurrection is now. I remember John Paul said, we are Easter people. We are resurrected people. What does that mean? You're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. What does the world say? Complain, be negative, you know, be worried. Jesus says, does worry add one moment to your life? And he says, of course it doesn't. Then the command of Jesus is, stop worrying. See, when we go through those 6 days that Our Lady taught Luisa, the first 6 days of the Virgin Mary in the kingdom, the very first day is, I will sacrifice my human will in honor of God. What does that mean? You kill it. They can't have life. The next, I will empty myself of everything. What does that mean? No more blood is flowing through those veins. What's the blood? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. If you can't do the first 2 days, you're not going to get to the fourth day where it says to Jesus, give me the test. Test me, Jesus. I'm not going to be worried. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to be complaining. I'm not going to sin. Why? So that when you get to the sixth day, you can say to Jesus, fill me with all the divine qualities as much as you as a human could possibly contain. See, this isn't a devotion. Devotions are easy. The saints taught us devotional life. You go through those 9 days, you go through those 54 days, and then you're done. Now I can go back to being miserable. No, the divine will is to be completely transmuted inside and out. Yesterday, the Naaman went down to the river and went in seven times. Yesterday, we went down and walked in the river seven times. And then we drank seven times. Drank from the river. Why? Inside and out, we want to be completely changed. See, this place here is so very important. This will be, I mean, you are very fortunate to be here, number one. Our Lady called you to be here, and you came. And that's the gospel yesterday. Jesus healed the lepers, the 10 lepers, and he said, only you came? I healed them all. See, the divine will is healing, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional. And that means we begin to live this life. I don't care if you feel worried, feel anxious, feel, that doesn't matter. What matters is you say, no, I'm going to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. And that's what Jesus says to Louisa. Jesus says to Louisa, those that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative are anticipating hell. Those that are peaceful, joyful, and happy, Jesus says, are anticipating heaven. Where are we going? It depends how we are acting. Are you living a peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy, and a happy life? Why? You trust Jesus. You see the things going around. We're at war. You see all that's happening in your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, with your co-workers, with your parishioners. You see what's happening in the Vatican and in your diocese. You're seeing all these things that are happening. We're at war. When you were confirmed, the bishop slapped you across the face. He didn't slap us hard enough. We're at war. God wins. See, Jesus crucified is victory. Jesus crucified is glory. It's the power of God. And what he's asking of us is, you're going to be purged. Thank you, Jesus. Purge me. Purge me of everything that is not of you. You're going to be embellished. Yes, embellish me with everything that is of you. You're going to be enriched. Yes, Jesus, enrich me. See, when Jesus speaks to you in the volumes, he's waiting for you to respond. It's not just something to read and go, oh, that was nice. He says this, then I shall come. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. What did Our Lady of Revelation say to Bruno in 1947 in Rome? She says, time has now come to an end. What does that mean? It's not the end of the world. It's the end of Lucifer's reign. God wins. She says, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. What is that triumph? We become like her Son. It's not just to be good and holy and saintly. We are to share in divinity. And so when the priest says this at daily mass, what you do is say, yes, Lord, I want to be divinized. That's exactly what Peter tells us in his epistle. We're called to be divinized. Not about just being good. I had people when they, it's a when you get to funerals, and they go, oh, he was a good man. Did he go to church? No, he didn't go to church. Did he pray? No, he didn't pray, but he was a good man. You think he's going to heaven? You can't get to heaven by being good. You've got to be holy. And the holiness isn't the holiness of the saints at this time. Because of Louisa, Jesus says, I want you to share in my divinity. This is what Jesus is saying. I shall come, and I, God, shall form in you my divine dwelling. And then we shall always be together. See, it's not what the Protestants say. The Protestants say, oh, I have a personal relationship with Jesus. You also have a personal relationship with the devil. Well, it's true. Every week when you go to confession, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. You have a personal relationship with the devil. Jesus doesn't want just a personal relationship. He wants an intimate relationship. And that's why we go through the mystical marriage. Not because we're any saints. We're not saints. We're the worst of all. But because Louisa received the mystical marriage. And what Louisa has received, Jesus says, I want to give to you. So we buy the ring and we wear the ring. We get the blessing of the mystical marriage. And then we become intimate with Jesus. We spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, adoring Him and loving Him and praising Him and thanking Him and blessing Him and worshiping Him. If you're not spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you might be good. But where's the intimacy? You're going to spend eternity with Jesus. Jesus says to Louisa, the intimacy is so great that it will be as if you and Jesus were alone in heaven together. Each person, Jesus said to Louisa, it will seem as if they have their own personal Jesus. See, you're the only one that can love God the way God has created you in your uniqueness. We don't have to be like anybody else. We have to become what Jesus has called us to be. That's why He says, I want to make each person a divine masterpiece while on earth. This is what God's waiting for. The next volume. Do not fear. Pluck up courage. Those are the first words of Pope Benedict. He says, you must be courageous. You must have courage. We are at war. And if you're complaining, they said that about me. This is what they did about me. You grow up. Jesus didn't go, you hurt my feelings. Courageous. You must be courageous. We are at war. Which side are you on? Are you on the side of victory or are you on the side of defeat? What's the three things that Jesus teaches Louisa? To repair and redo. The first thing you do when something happens, you say, thank you, Jesus, for showing this to me. You're trying to wake me up. Thank you, Jesus, that you showed this to me. I don't care if it's the murder of a billion babies through abortion. He's trying to wake you up. The second thing is, I'm sorry that it's happening to you, Jesus. And the third is, I want to repair this as if it never happened. I want to repair it in the most holy divine will. So you're not going, look what they're doing, look what they're doing, look what they're doing. No. You're here to thank Jesus that He shows you this. Telling Jesus that you're sorry, that it's happening to Him. I don't care what they say about you or me. We're nobody. We're nothing. It's for the honor and the glory of God and the salvation of souls. And then finally you say, I want to repair this. Jesus, this needs to be repaired. And you're asking me to do it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for showing this to me, that this can be repaired and redone. See, that's the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love. This is the divine will. Send forth your Spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Lord, will renew the face of the earth through us. It's the renewal that's happening. This is what God, this is why we are alive today. And He's given us the way and the means this is going to happen. It's through the Book of Heaven. And if you're not reading the Book of Heaven, something's wrong. You haven't heard Jesus yet. Jesus said to Louisa, I will stand right beside you. I will touch your mind that you will understand this. And I will touch your heart that you will love this. Why? It's the true life of Jesus. It's the true life of Mary that they gave to Louisa. This is what God is waiting for. We have come to confirm you as our own. That's Jesus saying that about us. Once we link ourselves to Louisa, you can't have the divine will separate from Louisa, as you can't be a Franciscan without Francis, as you can't be a Dominican without St. Dominic, as you can't be a Benedictine without St. Benedict. This gift of the divine will, we triune God, have come to confirm for you as our own. We enter into the family of God, the little family of Nazareth. And we want to take possession of your heart. Why? This is where the throne of God is going to be. We've got to get ready. So what does God do? He takes away from us all the worldly loves. When you enter into the divine will, you lose friends. Why? Your focus isn't them. Your focus is God. To love God with your whole mind, your whole heart, and all your strength, as you love your neighbor, as you love yourself. Why? Jesus is here. Jesus is there. And that's what he's waiting for. To take possession of your heart. We want our hearts to be the throne of God. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament and you're in communion with God, you're talking to God, you're listening to God, what is he saying to you? What is he saying? He wants this intimate relationship with you. While this voice is saying this, I saw, this is Louisa, that the Most Holy Trinity descended into my heart. This is what God wants you to see as well. It's not just for Louisa. You have to begin to see the Most Holy Trinity entering into your heart. And the Holy Trinity took possession of my heart. And they were formed, and there they formed their dwelling. On earth, this dust, as the saints are possessing God in heaven. God wants to breathe in us the Ruah of God, the breath of God. And we're the ones that limit him. When we read this and we say, well, I don't think God's going to do that to me. God's going to say, absolutely, I can't do it to you. You've already said no. We've got to have the fiat mihi of the Blessed Mother. The angel said, you'll be the mother of God. She says, how could this be? And what they don't tell you, she says, I want to please God in all things, but I don't know man. And the angel said, it'll be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She says, let it be done as you say. Total surrender. Total docility. She didn't say, well, I'm only 14 and I've got plans. I'm married to Joseph and I'm going to be living here in Nazareth. She didn't. She said, fiat. Docility is one of the things that people hate today. Surrender is one of the things people hate today. To be obedient. Adam was disobedient. We have to be obedient to God. See, as you read, as you study, as you get closer to Jesus and closer to Mary, you're going to fall more in love with Jesus, more in love with Mary, more in love with the Holy Church. And what the devil wants is he wants you to complain. The saints have already said this. And it shows us what to pray for. The pavement of hell is covered with the skulls of priests. Another saint said, the pavement of hell is covered with the crushed skulls of bishops. Jesus tells us this. You mislead one little one. The best thing for you is to be having a millstone around your neck and cast into the sea. That's the best thing for you. We should be praying for priests, praying for our bishops, praying for the Pope. But the devil wants you to criticize, be negative, be upset, be worried, be fearful, be anxious, be complaining. Why? Because that's him. He has no trust in God. He has no trust in the Holy Catholic Church. Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail. We're at war. And Jesus is looking at us and saying, what side are you on? You say you love me and you're complaining and you're negative and you're full of anger. What side are you on? Well, this is justified anger. Baloney. Our Lady was silent at the foot of the cross. She could have said to everybody, stop it, and everybody would have stopped it. She's the mother of God. Theotokos. She was silent. Jesus is looking at us and he says what he says to Louisa. I want to descend into your heart. And he wants to take possession of our hearts. And he wants to form his dwelling within our hearts. Who could say the change that occurred in me, Louisa says. I felt divinized. Do you feel divinized? I mean, do you understand what Jesus is saying to us through Louisa? It was no longer I who lived, but they, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, were living in me. It seemed to me that my body was like a residence, that the living God was residing in it, because I could feel sensibly the real presence of the triune God in my interior. See, this is the peace, the joy, the happiness. Again, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, you're feeling the real sense of the devil. Don't fool yourself. I'm justified in being angry. You're only fooling yourself. And when you say, I'm living in the divine will, as Father Bucci says, you're only fooling yourself. To live in the divine will is to live the life of Jesus. To live the life of Mary, which Jesus and Mary are calling us to through little Louisa. And this is, great things are coming. We're not even close to what God's got planned. Great things are coming, he says. He says this, Louisa says this, I could hear God's voice clearly, coming out from within my interior, resounding the ears of my body. It happened precisely when there are people speaking inside a room, and their voices can be heard clearly and distinctly also on the outside. From that moment on, Louisa says, I had no other need to go in search of Jesus somewhere else in order to find him. I can find him there, inside my heart. Do you find Jesus in here? Do you find Jesus in your heart? It's because you're very far from him. See, Jesus is filled. He's the King of Peace. Our Lady's the Queen of Peace. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. There's no negativity. There's no sin. I mean, that's what you say at confession. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. And what the Lord is looking for, he's looking for us to be so filled with peace, joy, and happiness that you're living heaven on earth as the saints possess it in heaven. No difference. That's what God's waiting for. And that's why he's given you the book of heaven. He has predestined you to live at this time. This is what he's doing. And when sometimes Jesus would hide and I would go in search of Jesus, wandering through the heavens of the earth, searching for my highest and only good, while I would be in the heart of my tears, the intensity of my yearnings for him, not for what's happening to you, and amid the unbearable pains, unutterable pains of having lost Jesus, Jesus would come out from within my interior and say to me, I am here with you. Do not look for me elsewhere. Volume 2, 9999. Now, while I was sitting in the shade of this tree, Jesus looked at me with a tenderness all paternal. See, one of Jesus' titles is Jesus, the Father of the Age to Come. And taking my surge of love that it seemed he could not contain it within himself, he embraced me tightly and began to say, how beautiful you are. You are my simple dove, my beloved dwelling, my living temple in which I am pleased to delight united with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Those are words to you. But you got to be intimate with him. You got to spend time with him. I know people that say the rosary very quickly. Got it done. It's the intimacy with Jesus is to have the sweetness of Jesus, to be with him, to hear him, to smell him, to taste him, to touch him, to see him. Jesus said to Louisa in Volume 36, he says, the senses were made for God. And as Catholics, we already see Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And we spend time with him, looking at him. We don't go in and spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament reading. We focus our attention on Jesus, looking at him, falling in love with him. So people say, how do you fall in love with Jesus? By spending time with him and falling in love with him. That's what Jesus is waiting for. And he says to you, how beautiful you are. You are my simple dove, my beloved dwelling, my living temple in which I am. He says that his name is God. Pleased to delight united with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Volume 2, 10, 29, 99. My daughter, the main thing so that I may enter into your soul and to form my dwelling is total detachment from everything. Do you know why people complain? Because they're not in control of themselves. So they try to control everybody and everything around them. Complaining is a sign you're very far from God. You're not in control of yourself. I see that in many families. Somebody in the family would be saying, this and that, and this and that. I'm going, that's what you're doing. Why are you complaining? You've got to control yourself first. Be in charge of yourself first. Complaining is a symptom. You're out of control. Well, it's just anger. No, it's not just anger. When you stand before God, God isn't going to say, what did they do? He's going to say, what did you do? Nobody's going to be there. God's going to say, what did you do? How did you live? Where's your peace? Where's your trust in God? Where's your confidence in God? Yeah, but they did. God's going to say, what did you do? I was talking to somebody yesterday. I had a good friend. She went to daily mass, prayed the rosary, wore the scapular. She complained, and I constantly said to her, stop complaining. You're going to spend a lot of time in purgatory if you do not stop complaining. You're going to, for every thought, every word, every deed, you're going to spend centuries in purgatory. I mean, read the story of purgatory. St. Thomas Aquinas says, the flames of purgatory are the flames of hell, but they're not everlasting. And when she died, people said, she was great. I said, she's a great saint in purgatory for a long, long time. She complained about everyone and everything. See, Jesus says to Lisa, he says, purgatory is not for the children of the divine will, because I am living there. They're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. And he says, how can I judge myself? So, I mean, the main thing for the divine will is Jesus wants us to begin to live this abundant life. Total detachment from everyone and everything. Our lady said this to Louisa. Do you know how to live in the divine will? Louisa says, how? Live as if it's only you and Jesus on earth. I don't know what's happening in India or Africa or Central America or South America or Alaska. I don't know. But I know what's living in here. And it has to be Jesus. I'm not in charge of that. I can pray for them with confidence and trust. But where's Jesus in you? Where's Jesus in me? That's why he says he wants this residence. He wants our heart to become his throne. Volume 4, 12, 17, 1902. But how can union with you be permanent in me? I see myself so bad. Now think about this. Louisa said the worst sin of her life that she ever committed was wanting to be a nun and not be in bed. She said to Jesus, I could do so much more being a nun. And you asked me to be in bed. I'd rather be a nun. I can help you more. That was her worst sin. And when she went to confession to Jesus, she spent 7 hours confessing her sinfulness. We'd be there forever. I see myself so bad. Now, see, the thing is we don't go around and go, I'm terrible, I'm terrible, I'm terrible, I'm terrible, I'm terrible, I'm no good, I'm no good. No, Jesus, I'm a sinner. You are holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. I'm small. You are great. You are magnificent. See, it's the focus on him, not on us. We're nothing. Jesus is everything to us. When we come in and when we genuflect in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it's to say to Jesus, you are my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. You're my God. You're my all. People bounce off their knee, sit in the pew, pick their nose. Jesus is there. I mean, if Jesus was here, the church should be silent. But Jesus isn't here. Yeah. He's going to be here. I can't wait to see what the bishop's going to do here. This is going to be... Everybody's going to come here. There'll be more miracles here than at Lourdes of Fatima. And God wants this to start today. He really does. And Jesus interrupted my speaking and said, silly one, what are you saying? Don't you feel me continuously within yourself? Don't we feel Jesus continually within ourselves? Is he our Lord? Is he our Savior? Is he our Master? Is he our King? Is he our God? Just to be with him, you're happy. He says, don't you perceive in the sensible moments I make in your interior, the continuous prayer that rises within your interior that you cannot do otherwise? You can't be miserable. It's the life of the devil with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, or it's the life of Jesus where there's peace, joy, and happiness. It's, you choose what you want. Well, it's my personality. I am critical and I'm negative. No, no, no. You're linked to somebody. Don't blame God. You want to be miserable. That's all you know is your misery. I'm talking to this girl that died. You're mean. No, I'm not mean. Do you want heaven? Or do you want to spend a lot of time in purgatory? It's up to you. Jesus wants us with him. He wants us. Don't you perceive the sensible moments that I, God, make in your interior, the continuous prayer that rises within your interior that you cannot do otherwise? Is it perhaps you or I who dwell within you? Is it Jesus with peace, joy, and happiness? At the most, sometimes you do not see me, but in no way does this mean that union with me is not permanent in you, Luisa Picaretta. This is Luisa. It's certainly not us. But Jesus says, I will do what I gave to Luisa with you if you wish. If you wish. He says he wants this. Volume 4, 1230, 1902. My daughter, many times I delight in choosing souls, surrounding them with divine fortitude in such a way that no enemy may enter into them. Do you see what's happening? God's doing this with us. No enemy can dwell within. Once you give your fiat, once you begin to live this gift that God gave to Luisa, the enemy can't dwell within. Why? Jesus is there. Mary is there. The new Adam and the new Eve is there that Luisa possesses. The devil can't go there. I established in them my perpetual dwelling. In this residence of mine, I, God, lower myself, one could say, to the most minute services. I clean her up. That's what's happening with us. That's the very first thing he said. He says, I'm purging you. He's cleaning us up. He's purging the world. He's purging the church. You have to understand this. He's cleaning it up. I mean, if you've ever cleaned a filthy toilet that hasn't been cleaned in years, it takes a lot of scrubbing. It takes a lot of bleach. It takes a lot of elbow grease. That's what God's doing to the church and to us. Good. Thank you, Jesus. We're praying that it gets done quickly. My daughter, many times I delight in choosing souls, surrounding them with divine fortitude in such a way that no enemy may enter into them. I, God, establish in them my perpetual dwelling, and in this residence of mine, I, God, lower myself, one could say, to the most minute services. I clean her up. I pull her all the thorns from her. I destroy all the evil that the human nature has produced in her. I plant in this soul all the beautiful and good things that can be found in me, God, to the extent of forming the most beautiful garden of my delights to be used at my pleasure in according to the circumstances of my glory and of the good of others. So much so that it can be said that this soul no longer has anything of her own, but serves only as my dwelling. Do we want this? When you read this, you say, Jesus, I want this. I want you to dwell in me. I want you to clean me up. Purge from me every aspect that is not of you. Fill me with all your divine qualities. Fill me as much as you possibly can. He's got to hear this from us. We just don't read this and go, well, that was pleasant. Talk to Jesus. He's talking to you. Volume 6, 11, 16, 1903. My daughter, there is no sacrifice without denying oneself. And sacrifice and the denial of oneself gives rise to the most pure and perfect love. And since sacrifice is sacred, it happens that it consecrates the soul to me as a sanctuary work worthy of me to make of it my perpetual dwelling. So here Jesus is saying why he created us, why the Ruach of God, the breath of God, breathed into this dust his image and likeness. Worthy of God. Adam. We say Adam came out of the dust. No, the image and likeness of God came out of the dust. And Jesus says, this is what I want for you. I don't just want you to be good and holy and saintly. That's not enough for God. I want you to be my image and likeness. And that's why he's purging us. That's why he's purging the church. Look at this building. At one point, this was beautiful. That was the church. This is the church today. Jesus is not even present in some churches. And he's going to make it immaculate. More beautiful than what it was before. And he's asking us to be alive at this time. That means he's depending on us to become the church filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Whether you're in your hotel room or in your bedroom or in walking through your garden, Jesus is asking us to let him reign in us. And this is what he says. He says, I want a sanctuary worthy of me to make my perpetual dwelling. So let the sacrifice work in you, render your soul and your body sacred, so that everything may be sacred in you and consecrate everything to me. See, this intimacy is what God is looking for. Volume 6, 4, 9, 1904. One act of perfect resignation to my divine will is enough for you to be purged of all these uglinesses that you talk about. God's going to set you free of all that's bothering you. It takes your fiat. Let it be done to me as you say. I want to please God in all things. Let it be done to me. And I, God, shall say to you the opposite of what you think. I, God, shall say to you how beautiful you are. I, God, feel the divine fire of my divine love in you, in the perfume of my divine fragrances. With you, I, God, want to make my perpetual dwelling. He says this to you when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, looking at Jesus. He's saying this to you. You've got to hear him. His voice is silent. You're not going to hear him with your ears. You're going to hear him with your heart. That's what Jesus is waiting for. He's got great plans. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We'll be back in 15 minutes.